This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, Gator's off today, and filling in will be John Jansen, the former Detroit Lion, Washington Redskin, Michigan Wolverine, and now with the University of Michigan doing a podcast, which I listened to on my trip, by the way, John.
What'd you think?
I was very entertained. I think, well, we'll talk about it a little bit, some of my observations. I like your training camp stories. I like the fact that you went to training camp as a fifth-year senior worried you were going to lose your job.
Hey, I tell you what, you just never know. I mean, they recruit these four- or five-star guys. These young bucks come in, and sooner or later, it's going to happen to somebody. I just didn't want it to be me.
Well,
you'll enjoy today's.
Well, today you talked with Don Brown?
No. Don Brown's going to be on next week. Today, okay. We had Lamar Woodley.
Oh, okay.
And so, but before Lamar comes on, I've got a little audio gem for you. Something to really treat your eardrums.
Okay.
And I think everybody that tunes in, again, it's called In the Trenches, is really going to be pleased with the sample that they get.
You can get it on iTunes.
You go to mgoblue.com and get it, TuneIn app. There's a lot of different ways you can get it, but it's been a lot of fun to do, and obviously I get to be at practice.
Well, which is something we got to talk about because information is scant coming out of practice. So we'll get to that in a minute. I do have to ask you, how'd you enjoy working with Gator last week?
It was about all that you and Kang had mentioned it would be.
Yeah.
And so we had a little snafu at the beginning.
Which is?
So the first time I walk in, because you sit there.
I sit on the east side of the table.
The window side, and I get the chance to, you know, see what's going on outside. And you guys had talked about the distractions or the ability that Gator has to be distracted.
Yes.
And so, obviously, when I come in, I think if I'm sitting in for you, I'm going to sit over there.
In my seat.
In your seat.
Right.
And Gator would sit in his seat. So there's, you know, in between shows, you know, there's three, four people kind of coming and going. And,
yep.
and I sit down and Gator looks at me and is kind of looking at me like, what are you doing? I'm like, I'm just plugging in. This is Doug's chair. He goes, no, that's my chair.
Wow.
I got bumped. I got the rookie treatment.
Wow. There was some.
Don't forget to pick up my pads after the show.
I know.
Later, you're going to have to sing the fight song or sing Devil Goes Down to Georgia with the words on
my ball cap. Yeah.
Which was one of the stories you told about training camp when you had to sing at training camp your freshman year and you wrote the words on the underneath bill of your baseball cap in case you forgot them.
Because I knew I was going to.
And Rod Payne outed you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get in front of, okay, so you just imagine you see all these guys on TV, you know, growing up, and you see Tyrone Wheatley for running for what he did in the Rose Bowl. Now, all of a sudden, you're standing on a chair with 110 guys looking at you, asking you what your name is, where high school you're from, things that you think you'd never forget.
Right.
And I'm sitting there going, John Jansen. So the words to a song I knew weren't going to come to me. So I had put them on the bill of my hat. And one of the rules that we had was you can't wear your hat at meals. And so I knew if I had my hat on, I mean, I had this whole strategy planned out.
Right.
If I had my hat on, they'd start yelling at me to take my hat off. Okay, I take my hat off. I got it right in front of me. I got the words on the bill of my cap, and I start, and you know how it is. Once you start reading something, it sounds like you're reading something.
Yep.
And sure enough, Rod Payne came up, grabbed my hat, and it was, you know, Katie barred the door at that point because I just got heckled right out of the cafeteria.
That's so great. Okay, so how's practice going?
Practice is going good. It's physical.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, everybody would assume, at this time of the year, it's going to be physical, but and another shameless plug for the podcast. In the second episode, I had new strength coach Ben Herbert on, and he talked about the strength gains that these guys have had this offseason and weight gains. And it is obvious to me that it's showing off when you look at one of the knocks that Donovan Peoples-Jones had last year was he couldn't get off the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
Now he's much more physical. He's getting off the line of scrimmage. He's getting open, which is great to see. Nico Collins, which both you and I had talked about last year as a receiver, he's a physical specimen. He's even bigger now. Up front, when you see these guys and their bodies take the field, you will see an absolute difference in their makeup, their attitude. When athletes get stronger, you walk around with a different swag. Like, you know, nobody in this place can touch me. And that's the swag that I expect them to take the field with when they hit South Bend on September 1st.
The Ben Herbert podcast you did, who's a new strength and conditioning coach, they talked about the work with the sleds and putting 400 pounds on each side of the sled. And it's 879 pounds total. Yep. And the offensive linemen have to push the sled
10 yards. And they time it, they video it, and all your buddies are around you. And when they did that in January, there was only a handful of guys that could get to that 10 yards. Some of them moved it a yard. Some of them didn't move it much at all. And he then showed me the video of the guys doing at the end of their summer conditioning program. So they had all of winter, they had spring ball, and then summer conditioning. And to see these guys and the progress they made.
Offensive linemen.
All offensive linemen in this. I know they probably did it with other positions, probably defensive line as well, but he was showing me the offensive line. And when I'm watching it, it's not just that they're moving it. It's that, first of all, it was great team building. There's no better unit that you need an event like that or a moment like that to build the unity than the offensive line. And they're all cheering these guys on. They're all fired up. They've got, you know, snot bubbles coming out of their nose. They're spitting and they're grinding. And to watch them easily move 879 pounds, 10 yards. I mean, some of these guys that did move it 10 yards, it took them at the start of training 45, 50 seconds. Mm-hmm. Now it's taken them 10 seconds, 9 seconds. I mean, it's a phenomenal change in these guys. And then when I see them at practice and I see that their pad level and the aggression that they come off the ball, there's a direct correlation between what they did this offseason and what you can see at practice and what we're going to see when games start.
Okay, I've said on the air, I think it's been a decade since Michigan's had a Michigan-like offensive line. And there have been some good guys that have been here, but there haven't been a unit that looks like, to me, a Michigan offensive line. Are you seeing the footings of that being laid now?
No question. And I'm not going to say this is going to be the same as what we had in 97 because we had three first-round draft choices on that line. I don't know that they necessarily have that talent, but when I see this offensive line develop, I'm not seeing guys run free in the backfield. I'm not seeing the penetration that we've seen over the last couple of years for tackles for loss. I'm seeing guys taking good steps. They're helping their buddy in combination blocks. Ben Bredesen's doing a great job of setting up that defensive tackle for his offensive tackle to come in and get some push. And those are the types of things that you expect to see from a good offensive line. And, you know, can they be a great offensive line? I think they could be. There's a long way to go between now and that point. But just those things where a guy is putting his hand in the right place to help his buddy, and it allows him, if he buries his head in that defensive tackle, he can't see the linebacker. Now all of a sudden he's got his shoulder and his hand in that same position, allowing his compadre to get in there and get push, but it allows him to see the linebacker. And now you can make that combination block from a down lineman to the linebacker.
People ask me every once in a while about this quarterback they have coming in, this Shea kid. Doug Harsh, John Jansen, and for Gator. Hey, 248-539-9797 if you want to get your phone calls in. John has been in the NFL for 11 years, 10 with the Redskins, 1 with the Lions, local guy from Clawson, played at Michigan 5 years, won a national championship, two-time captain. You know, I always point this out, and we welcome Spartan fans to call in as well. You have great respect for Mark D'Antonio and have said you'd send your kid to play for him. So if Spartan fans want to get involved as well. But 248-539-9797 if you want to talk a little college football. And later we'll get into Lions practice update 11:30 because they were out there in Oakland. And we do want to get your reaction to Kang's bold ass prediction yesterday on the program.
I heard that.
Yeah, so we'll just hang out till 11:30. Kang's,
at 11:30. His judgment's already suspect. Well, Clinton Portis guy.
But yeah, well, he loved Clinton Portis, and he was not your favorite. But anyway, we decided we'd open with an update from Michigan practice, which you've seen a little bit. I get asked about Shea Patterson all the time, and Shea Patterson. I've made this point, okay? We talked about quarterback play under Harbaugh. The quarterback rating ESPN uses when it's 40, when a Michigan quarterback in a game has a ranking above 40, and 40 isn't very good, but a ranking above 40, Michigan's 18-1. Mm-hmm. And when it's 40 or below, Michigan is 10-10. And I think the ask of Shea Patterson shouldn't be, this guy's got to win the Heisman. This guy's got to be the best quarterback in the Big Ten. This guy needs to be average to good. I mean, probably good to great in some games, but to not stink. When the quarterback play is stunk, which, by the way,
it's a function of a lot of things,
including the offensive line. Yeah. They haven't had an elite running game. The receivers have been young, so the quarterback has been holding the ball. But I'm asking Shea Patterson not to stink. And, you know, he does have turnover problems at times.
So are you dubbing him as the starter?
I don't know. Should I?
You're not going to get that from me. I like my job. I will say this. Shea Patterson, the quarterback play, whoever that quarterback is going to be, mm-hmm. we're going to get a lot better play this year than we have in previous seasons. I've seen Brandon Peters over the course of spring and a few days. I've seen Shea Patterson in spring. I've seen Dylan McCaffrey, and I've seen Joe Milton. I've seen them all do things that I wished I had seen in the previous seasons, whether it's escaping the pocket and getting outside and making a throw that's on target, or if it's redirecting a protection to pick up a blitz, all these guys. And that's what's remarkable to me about Shea Patterson is his ability to come in. He's had 2 years of college experience, so it's not like he hasn't seen the speed of defenses. Maybe he hasn't seen the speed of a Don Brown defense, but he's familiar with how college defenses play. And his ability to come in and pick up Jim Harbaugh's offense and be able to go out there and command a certain amount of execution by his guys, whether it's a running back that maybe needs to line up on the right or the left to pick up a blitz, or if it's, you know, telling the center, hey, we're gonna call this other guy the mic. His ability to pick that up in spring when he'd only been here for, what, a month, 2 months, mm-hmm. is to me, it's exceptional. So it really speaks to his ability to study the game, the importance of the game of football to him, to go in there and spend the time to learn the offense, I think has been impressive.
Well, I want to make sure I understood something you said there. Clearly, he has seen he hasn't seen the speed like a Don Brown defense. He played in the SEC.
Are you sure?
I'm telling you
right now, the speed of this defense – And Don will speak to it when you hear my podcast next Wednesday, is it may be the fastest defense we've seen in maybe ever at Michigan. Because when you've got a linebacker like Devin Bush who's sideline to sideline, you get guys up front like Chase Winovich, Rashawn Gary, some of the young guys are going to have playing defensive tackle that can cover sideline to sideline, that can cover, you know, guys out of the backfield. I mean, it's unbelievable what Don Brown, Khalik Hudson is another guy that
Hudson's a stud.
When they announced the roster and it came out, he's a dude that was ripped to begin with and built like a football player. And when you see him, he's got another 15 pounds on him. I mean, and this guy is fast, he's strong, he's powerful, he's got that knack for getting to the quarterback, for covering guys out of the backfield, for covering slot receivers. The speed of this defense is going to be impressive.
The other thing is the quarterback room is set up the way you want it. Now you've got a junior eligible in Shea Patterson. You got a sophomore in Peters, a redshirt freshman in McCaffrey, and a true freshman in Milton. Now, when you have that, and you never know, log jams, guys might not want to stick it out or whatever, but that's how you want your quarterback room to be set up. In creating competition, but having guys at different levels. And the other thing with the redshirt rule being what it is now, that guys can play four games.
I think it's a phenomenal rule.
We're going to see all four of them.
Why not? You're going to see, I think across college football, you're going to see an unbelievable influx of freshmen playing at the beginning of the season because most teams don't start off with a team like Notre Dame. Most teams are starting off with a couple of patsies, and you get a chance to, at the end of a game or maybe somewhere in the middle of the game if the game is in control, put some of those guys in, and you have the freedom. They could play every snap of the game for four games and not lose their redshirt.
Well,
so why wouldn't you throw them in there? Why wouldn't you test it out?
I think you probably would.
Yeah.
And I think we're going to see all four of these quarterbacks. You sound a lot more confident in the offense, which has been the problem.
No question. It's been the problem. I mean, when you have a defense that ranks first in the country for most of the season, two years ago they ended up first. Last year I think they ended up third. The problem is not the defense. And so when you look at the offense, I'm encouraged by everything I saw this offseason, everything I've seen so far to this point in the fact that we're just going to be better.
Well, that's obviously a very, very big deal. Running backs, you got the two at the top, Caron Higdon and Chris Evans. Those guys looking up to the task. Anyone else standing out?
True Wilson. I think Coach mentioned him early in the year, and he's done nothing to detract from the comments that Coach already talked about. A walk-on who could be your number three running back. He's a physical runner. He's willing to stick his nose in there. He's willing to do anything. And the one thing that I know was a knock on our running backs over the last couple of years was pass protection. Because everybody thinks, okay, it's just the five guys up front. Well, that's not always the case. It is pass protection from tight ends, from receivers, from running backs. And for those guys to be able to stick their nose in there and pick up a blitzing linebacker or maybe a defensive lineman that comes free, I've seen improvement in those areas. And Jay Harbaugh, I've talked to him as well. He's excited about what he's seen.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how that plays itself out. And, of course, opening with Notre Dame. You and I had this debate, and I completely disagreed with you, what it means to open with a game like that. I think it makes you hyper-sensitive to preparations all summer long, and you said it doesn't matter who the opener is. As a player, you didn't care.
No.
But I feel like when you put Notre Dame at the beginning of the schedule, it changes your approach because you know you're getting tested right out of the gate.
Well, you know you're getting tested, but like I mentioned in the first podcast, and I as a fifth year guy, I still was worried that somebody was going to take my spot, and maybe that's just something that was in me. I think as I talk to more guys, it's something that is in a lot of the successful players that had great careers at Michigan and went on to play. They never felt like they had played a perfect game or that they were good enough, and they always wanted to be better. And when you come out of the 2017 season is over and there's a lot that happens in the offseason and you want to come out for that first game and make sure you make a statement because you're creating an identity for your team for the rest of the season. So it doesn't matter if it's against Notre Dame. It could be SMU, it could be Western, who are our second and third games. You want to make sure that you come out and establish that identity and say, this is who I am as a right tackle. This is who we are as an offensive line. This is who we are as a team. It doesn't matter if it's Notre Dame or anybody else.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend? Or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.